We want to talk about the first night, the burial, the first night in the grave. And of course, as you will see, this is going to be a really fascinating night. For some, of course, it's a bit painful. When I say a bit, of course, a bit of the standards of the next world. But for others, it is going to be a magnificent night. And of course, there are problems, difficulties. What I want you to focus on regarding what I mentioned tonight is not really what happens, is why they happen. This is very important. Because usually we have the, in background of our minds, we have the idea that God is waiting there to punish. God is waiting there to send his angels to calculate and do the justice to people by putting them on the spot, by bringing them to punishment and all these things. This is far, far away from why we go through these things. It is not for punishment. It is not for torture. It is not for annoying us. It is to make us capable to move forward. However, since some of us cannot do it, since some of us have shortcomings, then it's painful. So what I want you to focus and then concentrate and see if anything is against what this theory that I'm mentioning, because we can have several theories about the act of God and several theories about why things happen, whether in this world or in the next world. Now, if you think any of these things that I mentioned goes against this theory, that whatever happens is to help, not to handicap, is to provide grace, not to prevent from grace. If you find anything contrary, just tell me. So, our focus, although we mention whatever is going to happen, inshallah, according to what we have heard from traditions and from the Quran, but the focus will be why these things happen. This is the most important thing. Okay, the arrival in, of course, the other world. How do we arrive? This we discussed it before. We arrive fi abdanin ka abdanihim, as is mentioned by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, and also in many different traditions, with bodies same as our bodies. Of course, there is no matter there, but our structure is almost the same. We have ears, eyes, nose, tongue to speak, mouth to eat, and I don't know what happens inside because we don't have matter. How do we eat? What happens to what we eat? I don't know that. Don't ask me. But there is a similar body and a similar type of life when we arrive there. So we arrive in bodies like our present bodies. And as I said, it's fascinating because we see things have changed a lot in the way they behave or they react to our actions. Entering this world of Barzakh is like entering into a new culture and a new country. Everything, of course, a new culture which is very different from our culture. A new country which is very different. Perhaps we may have to say like entering into a new planet with completely different creatures, different behavior, different rules, different ethics, different etiquette, everything is different. So the first thing that a newly arrived soul would experience is amazement of what is happening. What type of world is this? This is the first thing when we enter the first thing we experience when we enter that world. And then, of course, the first thing which strikes us is the freshness and lightness of life that we have. We are not hindered by our bodies, by the heaviness of matter anymore. So this freshness and lightness overwhelms them while they see their physical body dead. Because when they go there, still there is this relationship. This relationship, the relationship between this world will be cut off gradually. But immediately before they are buried, this is before burial I'm talking about. Before they are buried, this relation, this connection is still there. So they see the dead body lying there. They see the relatives. They see everything happening. Again, there are exceptions. I'm not talking about exceptions. I'm talking about general, as general rule. And as I said, what strikes the newly arrived soul into the world of Barzakh is the lightness, freshness, the lush sort of quality of life, which is very different from here, very much different. It is full of energy, so to speak, and full of life. That is why when we go, inshallah, to Barzakh, we will laugh at ourselves that we call this world as life. This is not life, as I have mentioned several times. This is a shadow of life. This is not real life. إِنَّمَا حَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَعْبٌ. It's just a playing sport. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَحِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Akhira is the real life. Barzakh is the intermediate life. But compared to this life, it's a very strong type of life. Of course, one other thing has happened. They, as I said, it's the same body without matter, without physical qualities. However, now that they are transferred, they may have become a bit uglier or a bit more beautiful. A bit now. But gradually, this ugliness and beauty would increase and increase and increase. So much so that Swedenborg says, we will refer to Swedenborg a lot because, as I said, his experiences are very close to what we have in our traditions. He says that some souls, initially they recognize each other. But after a while, for example, after a year staying in Barzakh, then they do not recognize each other because their shape has become transformed very much. This, of course, would change when they go to the world of Akhirah. The change is gradual as the characters of the soul would gradually unfolds and reveals itself. It's all the character of the soul, shakala. It's all based on the shakala. Now, the burial, of course, is the most appalling thing for the soul. Now, the soul is somehow attached to the body. Wherever they take the body, to the morgue, or to the house, or wherever they leave it, the soul will go there. Because the body is still the home for the soul. The soul thinks that this is where they have to be. And this will, of course, continue. The soul may come out of the grave, go in many places, but eventually that's the home. They have to come back to their homes, where the body is. And this attachment will continue until the body completely is destroyed. That's where the soul may, of course, forget about the body and physical things. So, the souls are attached with the body. Not attached in the sense that they are now attached. Of course, now you cannot somehow bring out the soul from your body. But in the sense that they feel bound to go with the body wherever it is. And that is why they are buried with the body. So whatever you hear about this azabul qabr, punishment in the grave or reward in the grave, it's not about the physical body. That this, for example, when they put you down, when they lay you in the grave and then they want to leave you, you want to wake and go with them and your head hits the gravestone. And all these stories that they say, it's not about the physical body. It's all about the soul. The soul, which is still, is quite connected to the body and goes wherever the body goes. Now, here, one very dramatic moment for the soul is when they want to just put the body in the grave. This is what is called in our traditions hawlul muttala. There are different meanings for hawlul muttala, but one of the meanings is the fear, the horror of the moment when the soul looks down into the grave and sees and feels that he is being buried with the body, going down deep into the depth of the grave. Now, this is not about the body. You hear that they say when you want to put the body in the grave, when you are taking the body, carrying with the body, don't rush. Don't rush, because the soul is watching what's happening. The soul is watching the grave. The soul is watching what you are doing. He feels or she feels what you are going to do. So put him or her down, recite a Fatiha three times, put them down, and then again take them. It's just because the soul is very much frightened. And this, of course, is for both mu'min and kafir. Because although mu'min is also experiencing good things, is happy, however, it's just like when, for example, someone tells you, jump from this three-story building and then at the bottom you will find prosperity. You know that at the bottom there is prosperity, but you are frightened, you have horror to jump down. It's natural. So for the soul, it's the same thing. So one of the most difficult moments is this hawlul muttala. And that's where the soul really needs some sort of consoling. And these ceremonies which are mentioned is somehow to make the soul to become a bit more familiarized with the occasion. Some people think that it's all about the body. The body is absolutely dead. There is no feeling in body anymore. However, the soul which is attached to the body, it's just like they're chained to the body. They cannot get rid of it. They have to go wherever the body goes. So, they are buried in the grave. However, amazingly, again, this is what other fascination of that life that they see, although they are under the ground, although the dust and soil is being poured upon them, they are not choked. They can live under the ground the same way they could live above the ground. And they found that place as a room, as a real place. However, it looks like a cell or a prison for them now. They cannot come out of it. They feel bound. I don't know whether they, in reality, they can come, but what they feel is that they cannot come out. They have to stay there. They are bound there to stay with the body. So they stay there. They are not choked. It's just like a room. That's, of course, a very horrifying situation, because the most important thing, whether for mu'min or kafir, now mu'min and kafir have the same feeling, of course, because nothing has happened yet. Nothing has yet happened. The most important thing is that they don't know what will happen next. What is going to happen? Now that, for example, my family have left me here in this cell, and they see them crying and reciting Fatiha, yes, please. That body is what, sorry?
That body doesn't feel any pain, physical pain.
The body?
Yeah, the yeah. body itself. Because I was always under the impression, especially that when the body dies, the senses are very much enhanced. So even when you go to a layer of the body, you touch the body, you have to touch it very gently, because it feels pain to a very high level. Is that just...
No, because the soul feels pain. Because the soul is very sensitive towards the body now. Because it is something, although it has come out of the soul's control, but the soul thinks that this is his body, which is being treated by other people. So it is very sensitive, it gets really insulted if the body is insulted, and the pain, agony, whatever feeling is for the soul, not for the body.
The pain is felt, but the soul feels
pain. Well, not physical pain, it's not physical pain anymore. It's the pain which belongs to that body, which is in the world of Barzakh. So no matter how, of course, harshly you treat the body, the physical pain is not felt. What is felt is the insult, is the bad treatment, which it's, the soul would feel and would get offended of it. Now, there is one other thing to come. This first night of the grave is, as I said, is fascinating, but of course, somehow perplexing for the soul as well and for us. The soul is buried. Now the people leave. Okay? However, whether this happens while he's being buried or after the people leave, there is something which is mentioned in all the traditions, and maybe in all religions as well, who have alluded to this, is this squeezing of the grave. What they call it, dhamma or dhaqtatul qabr. Dhaqta is just pressing. Dhamma, the same thing. Just hugging and pressing someone. This is squeezing in the grave is something which happens for almost everyone, except for awliya Allah. Now, except for the ma'soom. Except for the ma'soom, it happens for everyone. Now, as I said, the believer soul, the believer soul is not unhappy. However, these difficulties are going to happen for him. He's going to go through it. That there is, as we have in traditions, there is a sort of a squeezing. Now, this is squeezing is not a squeezing of the body. Again, people think that because the soil and dust and things are put on the body feels squeezed. It's not the case. It's the soul which is squeezed, not the body. And that squeezing, although it may be simultaneous with the burial, or some while after it, we don't know exactly when that happens, but it's not due to the burial, physical burial, not due to the people being on the, for example, feet of dust and soil. Because even people who are not buried, they feel that squeezing. Even people, for example, who are thrown in the desert or thrown in the sea, they feel the squeezing. So that shows that the squeezing is not physical. It's again the soul which feels that. Now, why? Again, Allah is not going to harm us. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْعِبَادِ. Allah never wants to do dhulm to anyone. This is squeezing. We have in hadith, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِن مُؤْمِنٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ ذَمَّةٌ. There is no believer unless there is this dhamma for them. However, the extent of it differs. The extent of this squeeze differs. Who can think why this squeeze is there? Who can tell me why this is squeezing? Now, you know, you have heard the the story of Ma'ad when he was buried. The Prophet, of course, did all those things that he did for him. And still, he said, he is being squeezed in a way that you cannot imagine. And that squeezing, of course, is proportionate to that world. I said, the life there is very strong. And whatever experience is much, much stronger than what we have here. You cannot imagine what type of a squeeze is that. The hadith says they are squeezed in a way as if their brain wants to come out of their nose, for example. Or all what is inside their body want to just come out. That is the type of a squeeze. But that's an example. It's an experience which we cannot imagine. So, why? To bring out the... It's just like sweating. Allah wants you to sweat. To bring out. This is because this is the first moment. Now, you... The cleaner you go before the angels come and assess you, before the angels come and assess you, you are better off. So the stronger this squeeze, the better. Because it's just like when, for example, you want a massage to take tiredness out of your body. Just like that. Allah wants to bring the dirt and evil out of your soul. And that's why he says, مَا مِن مُؤْمِنٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ ذَمَّةٍ. Okay, what about kafir? They have this squeeze as well. The strongest type of this zamma they have. But it doesn't avail them. No matter how strongly they are squeezed, it's not going to help. So why are they squeezed? Why are they squeezed? Because this is a law. It's just like air, which is for everyone to breathe. Just like food, which is for everyone to eat. Just like birth, that whether you are a mu'min or a kafir, you have to have the difficulties of birth coming to this life, crying, and you have to. To come, you go through it. And this squeezing is also the same thing. It's a general rule for everyone. It's a grace of Allah. He wants you to meet the angels clean and pure as much as it's possible, of course. It doesn't take everything out of your soul. However, it helps. And that's why, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِن مُؤْمِنْ إِلَّا وَلَهُ ذَمَّةٌ. So we don't ask, Ya Allah, relieve us from the squeezing of the grave. We just say, Ya Allah, make it easy. Just like when you want to have an injection, you know that you have to have it. Otherwise, you have difficulty in your health, for example. So you just say, please, gently. So the squeezing is the same. It doesn't last long. We don't know how long would it last. It doesn't last long. It's an occasion of just like sweating and bringing all the dirt out of your soul. So the other hadith, which actually says what we just mentioned, ذَغْفَةُ الْقَابْرِ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ كَفَّارَةٌ لِمَا كَانَ مِنْ تَضِيعِ النَّعَمِ. This pressing of the grave for mu'min is kafar for him, for what he has done in terms of wasting the ni'mah of Allah. Wasting, this is the least thing. It doesn't say for sins, isn't it? Even if you haven't done sins and you are not a ma'soom, you have wasted some of your ni'mah, and this would purify you. Yes, someone wanted to say something? Yes. Uh, Well, Thursday and Friday, because they are blessed days, not for everyone, of course, possibly this will be done, that process will be done without squeezing. It's possible. However, this is something that everyone should get as a grace of Allah, as a kindness of Allah, before meeting the angels. Because when those angels come, then there is no escape. They don't ask you whether you have gone through this process or not. They look at your soul, and they just reveal it open to you. And if you haven't gone through this process, then what you see from your soul is very horrible. So this is a very beneficial sort of thing that will happen for mu'mineen. And for kafirin, of course, it's just a punishment. Not because it's intended to punish. You see, don't get it wrong. It is intended to benefit. However, since they do not benefit from it, they're just punished by it, isn't it? Just like the hadith we have, that's for some people, fasting has nothing but thirst and hunger. Not because Allah wants them to go through thirst and hunger. Allah wants them to have the real fast and to benefit. However, they don't benefit from it. And it will be just pain of hunger and thirst. And this for kafir, it will be just pain because no benefit comes out of it. However, as a general grace that Allah gives to everyone, they go through this process as well. Now, after this comes al-ghurbah, loneliness. Now, again, we have lots of traditions that's the ma'sumeen seeking refuge from ghurbah. Irham fi dhalik al-bayt al-jadeedah, ghurbati. Help me in that new house. Because this is just like a new house. It's just really like a new house. Help me in that new house with my loneliness. Now, this is the moment when the soul is there, the people have left, he cannot see anymore what goes beyond the grave, and he is not visited by anyone. How long this will last? We say it's all the first night of the grave, but we don't know the time span for that. In the proportion of the time of barzakh, we don't know. So there's a time of absolute loneliness, where the soul, whether mu'min or kafir, it doesn't matter. But of course, the mu'min has always this sort of reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thinking about future, hopeful. This is the situation of the moment. But it does not hinder, it does not stop the fact that now it's ghurbah, it's loneliness. And the soul doesn't know, as I said, the most horrifying thing for everyone there is that you don't know what is going to happen next. Who's coming to visit you? What's going to take place next moment? Now, how long this ghurbah lasts, as I said, we don't know. All these are the first night of the grave. And as I said, in the time span of barzakh, we don't know how long this is going to be. Then comes a very, very amazing angel, Ruman, Fattanul Qubur. Again, as I said, don't think about the events. Think about why these events happen. It's not there to punish. It's there to take you through a graceful process. Now, comes Ruman, Fattanul Qubur. Who is this Ruman? As I said, a very amazing angel. In Shia Ahadith, we don't have much reference to Ruman. In Sunni Ahadith, we have detailed account of this encounter of Ruman with the soul and what happens. The only reference we have to Ruman in Shi'i traditions is in Sahifa Sajjadiyah, when Imam alayhi salam greets the angels. He says, "Wa Ruman, Fattanul Qubur," and send my greeting to Ruman. the one who tries the graves. Now, what is this angel doing there? Now, this is still before who? Those scary angels. Munkaran and Nakiran. Nakiran and Munkar have not come yet. And the soul would not, of course, expect, inshallah, that Nakir and Munkar would come in the sense that we understand. Now, when I talked about Ghurba, it's good to reflect. When we are there alone in that cell of us, that grave, which looks like a room. Of course, the body is just under soil and dust, but it looks like a room for the soul. What if God leaves you there forever? What will happen? What if he doesn't come back to you? What will happen? What if he forgets? But he, alhamdulillah, he doesn't forget. Sometimes we wish that God forgets, isn't it? Because we have done things that we wish that he forgets. But that's not good. If God forgets, then he may forget taking us from this world. And especially here, he will forget just we are there in that cell. This tiny planet, in that tiny cell, in that tiny soul, is God going to pay any attention to it? Of course. Everything is already prepared. It's just like birth. As everyone, the midwives, mothers, doctors, everyone is ready, everyone are ready to receive you. There, when you go there, everyone is ready to receive you. All the angels are notified. They know that on this date, on this time, on this hour, on this moment, this soul is coming. Everything should be prepared for them. And of course, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Allah will never forget. So, he's not forgotten. Of course, that grave does not have the capacity for Ruman. Ruman is a huge angel. Huge angel. So, what probably we feel, don't blame me if you don't feel all these things, you see. You may be an exception, or I may be wrong, okay? But just we are structuring a picture which all these traditions and reports give us. The grave starts to expand. That small cell starts to expand. That dark place starts to become full of light when this angel enters, Ruman, Fattan al-Qubur. And believe me, although we have already seen these angels of death, and for us, inshallah, they are very pleasant. They come as friends. However, every new angel that you see, you just cannot stop being surprised and amazed by the type of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every angel that you see is unique in its type and fascinating. And this Ruman also would be the same. Now, what this Ruman brings. Ruman comes. Now, in many traditions, we have that Ruman comes and actually make the lying diseased soul to sit. What I guess, is that the soul believes that if it hides inside the body, just go inside and just somehow try to identify with the body, no one would see him. So as soon as something wants to happen, they just go and sleep in the body. course. It's of no avail. These two cannot be glued together anymore. It's just a guess, okay? And this would explain many of these traditions, that these angels come and make the lying soul to sit. It's just as if they make the body to sit. We think as if they make the body to sit. It's not body is dead. So he comes, and the angel, of course, is dumb. The soul is dumbfounded. What type of creature is this? What does he want in my very frugal cell? Why has he come? And the first thing that we have in traditions is that Ruman introduces himself. I am Ruman, Fattan al-Qubur. What I want you to do now, of course, Ruman is very gentle. What I want you to do is to write for me whatever you have done in your life. And whatever you could have done and you haven't done, I want to write it for me. Now, of course, Ruman explains how he could write, with what pen, on what paper. There is nothing. But what he wants is actually not writing on any pen or anything. It's just actualizing what is in the memory, bringing it out, put it in a sort of magical book. Now, the soul says, I cannot remember. And he's right. He cannot remember. And Ruman says, I remind you, I am Malakul, Malakul Munabbih. I am the reminding angel. I am the angel who reminds. Now, what happens? Remember we said, as we have a physical eye and a spiritual eye, we have physical ear, spiritual ear, we have physical memory, and we have a spiritual memory. Now, what the Ruman, this Ruman does, he activates the spiritual memory. Activates the spiritual memory in a way that now the soul can remember not only every event and act, but also its consequences, its different layers of intention, everything, just like alive as when it was being done, of course more vivid, because now he can see different layers of it as well. So everything comes to his. And this is not going to leave him in any case. That's why when we go to Barzakh, we remember whatever has happened in this world. And whatever happens there, we remember why those things are happening to us, because of such and such day, because of such and such act. We remember it. Of course, the extent of this knowledge is different, but we never forget any. After that, we never forget. Now, you remember the hadith that the Prophet used to say things to Ali, peace be on him. And Ali said, I fear that I may forget. And the Prophet made a dua for Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he said, I never forgot anything after that. Whether this was due to physical memory or spiritual memory, we don't know. But something happened to either the soul or the mind of Ali, peace be on him, so he did not forget anymore at all. This is what happens to your soul when Ruman comes. He activates the memory, the spiritual memory in you, and as I said, that is why he's called Al-Malakul Munabbih, the reminding angel. Now, He reminds everything, or he makes something that the soul remembers everything, and then he says, write it for me. And he starts to write. How to write? As I said, it's not pen on paper. It's just some sort of writing in the world of Barzakh. We don't know what it is. But it becomes like a book. Like a book. But a book not with letters and words, with actions and all these things. And then he takes the book and just stick it to the chest, as we have in traditions. Again, this is metaphor. Sticks it to the chest of the person. It becomes riveted and unified with the soul. And then what he says is, this is your book. This is you. This is your personality. This book will remain closed. Now, what's the meaning of closed? Will remain closed until the day of judgment when Allah will open it for you. Now, we can now see the difference between now in the world of Barzakh and the day of judgment. It's absolutely different. Now, although he remembers everything, although this can be somehow spelt out and put in a book sort of thing, and although it becomes identified with the soul, it becomes the personality of the soul, but this personality is still compact. It will open. Not now. So, whatever the soul experiences in Barzakh is because of this book. However, it is not full experience of their actions. Not full experience of what they had done. The full experience comes when they go to the other world. So, the whole spread personality that we have in this world, we forget, we don't know. We have different feelings. Once we feel good, once we feel bad, once we feel repentful, once we feel, for example, disobedient, all these are compact into one book and riveted to our chests. Don't think that this is bad for you who have done lots of charity, salat, fast, crying, pray. It's very good. Don't think it's bad. It's very pleasant. It's a very good experience. Although it's always tarnished with some black points, but it's very good. Again, we have to be afraid if this book is going to be full of evil. That's when we have to be afraid. Otherwise, inshallah, we are okay. And this Ruman, inshallah, is a very kind angel, although nothing is in his hand. There is nothing that these angels can do except just what the laws and rules and regulations would tell them to do. Yes. If they are forgiven, no, there is nothing there. No, if they are forgiven already in this world, and if they are removed by that squeezing, they are not there anymore. You cannot see them. Because this is what we expect from Ar-Rahim, isn't it? If he forgets, that means he just do away with all the consequences and all these things. So you don't see them. Yeah, what we have to be afraid of actually are those blank pages. Because that would cause our regrets on the Day of Judgment. The blank pages would cause our regrets on the Day of Judgment. Although we go to paradise, inshallah, and then we forget about that regret, however, there is a point on the Day of Judgment when they call it Yawmul Hasra, the Day of Regrets. Which in Hadith we have both mu'min and kafir regrets. Mu'min regrets from those blank pages, and kafir regrets from, of course, all those sins. Now, the book will remain closed until the Day of Judgment. All these are explained by Ruman to the soul. that this is your book, it will remain closed. But I don't think the soul would understand, really. Why? Of course, the statements are understood, but why this is the case? Why this should remain closed until the day of judgment? And this is what is mentioned in Surah Isra. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ Well, the tradition says that this is the meaning of it. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي أُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا مَنْشُورًا For every human, we have tied his ta'ir, that's his luck. Our lucks are our actions, whether good or bad. We are lucky if our actions are good. We are unlucky if our actions are bad. So your luck is tied to your neck. And this will come out as an open book on the day of judgment. وَنُخْرَجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا And this verse, again, the tradition says that this verse is recited, as far as I can remember, by Ruman for the person, that this is going to happen. You see, these angels are very helpful. They try to explain everything. And they try to tell you what they are going to do and why they are going to do it. Except these, the next two angels which come. They don't have to explain. Because no matter how much they explain, we don't understand. So they just do their jobs. They cannot explain. Now, good books. Now, Ruman goes. Okay? Ruman just finishes his job and leaves. And again, the dark cell and the ghurba. And again, that worry and consternation that what is going to happen next? Who is going to come on the next stage? Thawab Jariya. Well, when we go to Barzakh, that Thawab Jariya will come. That will help our life in Barzakh. Remember, we still are in ourselves. We are still not in real Barzakh. It's just like, for example, they take you to another country and put you in prison. You are not still in that country. Okay? When we go to that country, then the Thawab Jariya will come and reach us. If the book is good, then despite that loneliness and ghurba, the soul feels happiness, relief, and some sort of grace receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the book is evil, now that it has been riveted to the soul feels pain of those evil actions. The soul feels that the bad odor of the bad fragrance that comes from those evil acts and is now identified with him and with his existence. And this is probably the meaning of after the Ruman leaves comes a nice person. Comes a nice person. Yes. As I said, the grave means the place where the body is. No matter whether it's underground, over the ground, it doesn't matter. How the feeling may be different, but the same thing will happen. As I said, the squeezing will happen. Because that's the grace of Allah which should come. And the soul feels that it's bound to a certain boundaries that they have to stay there until all these angels come and do their jobs. Now, in traditions we have that probably, I mean, we have to get the chronology right, but probably this is the moment when comes a very handsome person. فَتَجِيءُ سُورَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Surah is not a person. It's an image. Surah is an image. Something that you just feel the image, although it's not a person. Suratun hasana, and the person, the good person, of course, which now is given his book. فيقول ما أنت يقول أنا عملك الصالح. He says, who are you? He says, I am your good acts. So this gives the relief and also the pleasure of this company. In fact, when Ruman gives you your personality, you are pleased with it. You like it. You become very happy. It's very pleasant. And you feel it's like a suratun hasana, a beautiful, handsome image that has come to you, a company in your grave. If, on the other hand, if you are an evil person, then of course, taji'u suratun sayya, an evil image will come and will accompany you. I think this is before, for many reasons, which there's no point to mention them now. This is before this Munkar and Nakir will come. The company is felt at that moment. Remember, we are still in the first night of the grave. A very long night it is. And the more dua and salat you do for your deceased, it helps. It helps because these acts would reach them, of course. Those with evil books should now have double endurance. First, they have to endure themselves, the loneliness, the worry, and they have to endure this evil suratun sayya, this evil image, which is not going to leave them. I don't know until when. It's not going to leave them for a while. However, for them, the evil people, what comes next is ever worse, because what comes is something they never have experienced before. Not even with Ruman, not even with being identified with their evil acts. Of course, these are the things that we can compare with. Otherwise, whatever experience there is not comparable to the pain of this world. We have in many traditions that if even one pain, one drop of the hot water that is in hell falls in this world, it burns everything, the whole earth. So that means the magnitude of that those experiences are much, much stronger than what we experience now, because our life is very weak now, is very thin, so to speak. When we go to future worlds, then our life becomes stronger and stronger. Just the distasteful, despicable image, which would somehow try them and give them the horror of its company. Then for this person, of course, comes for evil person. This Nakir and Munkar are two angels, but they are not always Nakir and Munkar. Nakir and Munkar mean ugly and uglier. Okay, now you look at one of them, you say, how ugly is this? And then you look at the other, you say, oh, this is uglier. And then you look at the other one, you say, oh, this is even uglier. And again, the other one is even uglier than that. So it's Nakir and Munkar. Some say this comes from denial, that they deny whatever you say. Well, different interpretations. However, this is very subjective, very subjective, very much subjective. They are seen as Nakir and Munkar by the evil people. But by the good people, they are seen as Bashir and Mubashir. They're the same angels, not two different angels, the same angels. They are seen just like the feeling you have towards God. You love Him. Some people hate Him, isn't it? So for some people, God is horrible. They shouldn't talk about God. For some people, only the remembrance of God gives them calm and tranquility. So you see the difference in experience. And that is what happens there. It's quite subjective the way you feel these angels. For some people, they are nakir and munkar. However, now their duty, their job is even more important than the job of Rahman. Or it's a complement to that job. They cannot do this, their job, before Rahman has come. And now that Rahman has come, of course, Rahman hasn't done anything with the soul in terms of giving its ranks, classifying them, revealing to the soul the personality. Just gave us the personality. Now, Nakir and Munkar, what they do, they reveal, they give rank, they classify. Now, as I said, they are not always Nakir and Munkar, they are sometimes Bashir and Mubashir. Inshallah, for us, you never see Nakir and Munkar. Don't be afraid of them. You never see them. You only see Bashir and Mubashir, inshallah. Provided you are good. Yes. I don't know. I haven't come across any account of sleep of the souls there. Certainly, they should have some sort of sleep because they are not God. Because it's God that we say, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. They should have some sort of sleep. But this first night is not a night that they can sleep. It's a night that they have lots of stories. Now, we leave the rest of this for next week. Any other question? Yes. It can go, but it doesn't stick, you see? Because it's not physical anymore. It can pass through the body, it can go inside the body, but it cannot be identified with body as it is now. It's just, they are just two separate things. Still remains around the body, yes. As I said, again, about this Nakir and Munkar, we have that when they come, they make the lying soul sit. And apparently, the soul, seeing these angels coming, because their arrival is very horrible. We'll discuss this next week, inshallah. As I said, we just discuss it here. You hear it, you forget it. This is not something you are going to see. Okay? Now, the soul probably just thinks that if it goes to the body and it lies there, they wouldn't know that he's there. And then they come and, of course, they make him sit. Yes.
This, oh my God, it's too long. This soul does have a body, the other body, the Barzakhi body.
That's right. That's right.
The minute the soul comes out, it goes into that other body. So it identifies with the dead physical body, but it is in the body.
That spiritual body is now with us. Okay? Yeah. And the soul will leave with that spiritual body. Now, after it's left, then it cannot come back. Although it may go and lie over the body or hide inside the body, but it cannot be identified with it anymore.
Soul cannot live without a body.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. That's not an ayah, it's a hadith. فَتَجِيءُ سُورَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Then comes a beautiful image, or handsome image. فَيَقُولُ مَنْ أَنْتَ. They say, who are you? And he said, أَنَا أَمَلُكَ الصَّالِحَ. I am your good acts. Which one is it?
The Sabr
ذقته القبر للمؤمن كفاره لتضعيع is for the waste of the ni'mah that has occurred in his life.
The waste.
Waste. Yes? Yes? As I said, even if you have no sins, except if you are ma'asum, because the ma'asum doesn't do tadhi'u na'am, okay? We may have, of course, done lots of things which would have been just waste of the ni'mah. We have not taken benefit of those ni'mah. And this, for the pure mu'min, this raghta, as the hadith said, no mu'min will be exempt from it. If they have no sin at all, it is a kafara for wasting the ni'mah. That would compensate for it. Yes? Yes.
What is the point of purification when the Ruman comes along? Because you mentioned he just gives you your personality, but he doesn't grant you a class of money.
Yes.
In any way. So what is the point of his purification?
Well, many evil things which would be in your personality, in your book, would be removed by that squeezing.
No. What about when Ruman
comes? Yeah, Ruman gives you that book, isn't it? Ruman reminds you of all those things. Anything which sticks to your memory, spiritual memory, means that it hasn't been removed. And then the squeezing should come before it so that the removable things are removed. And then Ruman gives you that. And then these two angels come to classify you and rank you. Yes? Anything else? Yes? Well, we have no other source to explain Ruman for us. As I said, we believe in Ruman especially because Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam has mentioned him. But I don't know why no explanation in Shi'i hadith has come about Ruman. So we just, because we want to construct that full picture, we just rely on it. As I said, if you don't see these things happen, don't curse me, please.
There is a reference in Manazil al-Akhira from Sheikh Abbas Kumi. In Manazil al-Akhira, he has mentioned about this Ruman story.
Yeah, it's again from Sunni sources.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, Sheikh Kumi reports it from Sunni sources. No, it's all mentioned in Shia books, but the original source is Sunni hadith. So if you show it to me, please. Yeah, thank you. No, the first night of the burial. It doesn't matter when they bury you. In the morning, in the afternoon, the first night of the burial. This is what they say. Yeah. Maybe you do not feel it very much. You do not feel it very much. Otherwise, as I said, this squeezing is a blessing. We shouldn't want that it wouldn't happen to us, no matter how painful it is. But yeah, there are things which may, it's just like giving you an anesthetic or something like that to numb you so that you do not feel it. Yeah. Yes. Post-mortem. I don't know anything. Certainly would affect the soul. However, if it's for a good cause, it may benefit the soul. So I don't know really what will happen because these things are very modern and we don't have anything in traditions about it. And whatever I say is from tradition, so I don't know. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, as I said, certainly according to what we, or according to the sources, is going to be annoying the soul. Except if it's for a good cause, eventually it may benefit the soul. Maybe. That is going to be beneficial, inshallah. Yeah, inshallah. I don't know, don't ask me. Yes. It is very painful for the soul to see the body dismembering and just... Tis till the burial, except maybe in exceptional situations when the burial does not take place at all. And then we don't know when these moments are going to come. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. All the particles, even. Yeah. Yes.
What happens if the body is not buried for a few days because the people wish to carry it somewhere, or in the Imam Khomeini's case, they kept it for 3 days so people can visit?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe in those cases, the soul is happy that the body is being taken to a sacred place, or seeing all these visitors coming and praying and sending salawat and these things. Nothing, according to our sources, nothing will happen until the body is buried, yes. Again, there may be exceptions. Yeah. It not to the body, to the soul. Not physical pain. It is sort of a spiritual pain for them. Yeah. As I said, it may be quite good for the soul as well. Yes. Do we what, sorry? It depends. It depends whether we are faithful or not. No. As soon as the Ruman gives you your personality, then that good image or bad image is with you. So you always have either the relief of having that good image with you, or the pain and concern of having that bad image with you. And especially these two angels are very subjectively seen by people. By that I mean, as I mentioned, that you see them the way you are. Just like Malakul Maut, as I say, it's like a mirror. They are like a mirror as well. You see them the way you are. Okay? Inshallah, next week. Apparently, we were to discuss Nakir and Munkar this week. I forgot to bring them. So next week, inshallah, I'll bring them.